to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 9. Book of Mark, chapter 9. We'd like to read verses 14 through verse 29. Mark, chapter 9, verses 14 through verse 29. When he, Jesus, came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft at times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Well, this is Mark's account of Jesus casting a demon from a man, thus releasing the demonic from the awful oppression of the demon, and at the same time releasing the father of this young man from a tremendous burden. We see that Matthew and Luke also give account of this event. By way of background, in verses 1 through 13, Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John into a mountaintop, and it was there that Jesus was transfigured before them. And then when Jesus and these three come down from the mountain, they see a great multitude of people around the other nine disciples, and the scribes are questioning them, and we see that there in verse 14. In verse 15, we see that when the people saw Jesus approaching, they ran toward him. And we read in verse 16 that he asked the question to the scribes, What question ye with them? And before the scribes could answer the question, we read in verse 17 that one of the multitude answered. And the one who answered was a desperate father. And he went on to tell Jesus how he had brought his demon-possessed son to the disciples in hope that they could deliver his son from the bondage and from the control of the demon. And as he told his story, he eventually said in verse 18 concerning the disciples, and they could not. Matthew, in his account, says that the man came kneeling down to him and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. And then, of course, proceeded to tell the story of how he brought his son to the disciples and how that they were unable to help his son. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this father's description of his son's desperate and seemingly hopeless situation. And after Jesus heard this man's story, which again, the man's story is an answer to the question to the scribes, "What question ye with them?" But after Jesus heard the man's story, notice in verse 19, Jesus said, "Bring him unto me." Bring him unto me. Luke records in Luke 9 and verse 41, "Bring thy son hither." And Matthew records there in Matthew 17 and verse 17, "Bring him hither to me." So though Matthew, Mark, and Luke record different details of what transpired, they all recorded the response of Jesus after he heard this man's story, which was, "Bring him to me." And that will be the subject of our message this morning. Bring it unto Jesus. Bring it unto Jesus. That's something we all know that we should do. But it is something that very, very few individuals truly do. Bring it unto Christ. First thing we want to notice here is a very desperate situation is described. We see, first of all, there was a father. And this father had a burden. Again, Matthew 17 says that he is kneeling before Christ. So we need to picture this father kneeling before Christ and hear him say, "My son, my son." He then went on to say, "Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on my son." Luke has it, "Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son." My son. As you hear those two words, "my son," there's some disturbance in those words. My son. There is some trouble of mind. There is some trouble of heart that this father is experiencing. We see him kneeling there and hear him say, as Luke records, in Luke chapter 9 and verse 13, he said, "Look upon my son, for he is my only child." My son, my only child. There's distress in those words. My son, my only child. There's emotion in those words. My son, my only child. I hear in those words someone who is anxious, someone who is very, very fearful. So we picture this man kneeling before Christ. He is weighted down with a very heavy burden. In fact, he is being crushed under the weight of this burden. And we see a man who is greatly troubled. We see a man who is unsettled. We see a man who is restless and extremely concerned and extremely saddened. Again, hear him say, "I spoke to thy disciples, and they could not. Lord, have mercy on my son, my only
child. But when he said those words, they could not. He's disappointed. He's despondent. He's cast down. He's disheartened. He's discouraged. I believe he's desperate. I believe he is overwhelmed. He has something in his life that is more than he can possibly handle. He cannot go on much longer. He was in desperate need. But then we see the condition of this man's son. And he too had a desperate need. And it appeared to be a hopeless situation. As you read the accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you see that the father, in agonizing detail, describes his son's condition. Describes how pitiful his son is. Describes how pathetic and how wretched and how miserable and woeful and dreadful this situation was. As a result of being demon-possessed, we see in Matthew chapter 17, if we turn there, Matthew 17, and verse 15. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. This is a result of being demon-possessed. In other words, my son, my only child, he's insane. Lord, he's absolutely out of his mind. He's a maniac. He's a madman. He's lunatic. And he goes on to say there in Matthew 17 and verse 15, and sore vexed. And that word sore simply means he's painfully tormented. He's insane. He is painfully tormented. He is in anguish. He is in misery. And he is in distress. My son, my only child. And oftentimes, or frequently, he falls into the fire. And often into the water. That is, his son, as a result of being possessed, was suicidal. He was self-destructive. So hear this father say, my son, my only son. Lord, he's out of his mind. He lives in torment. He lives in anguish. He lives in misery. And he frequently tries to commit suicide. Oh, imagine the burden. Again, that this father is undergoing. But then notice, if we go back to Mark chapter 9, verse 17, the father said, my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Again, this is the results of this possession. That word dumb there simply means mute. So as a result of demon possession, this demonic could not speak. He's lunatic, he's suicidal, and he's mute. He cannot speak. In verse 25, Jesus referred to this spirit as a dumb or mute and deaf spirit. So he's lunatic, he's suicidal, he is painfully tormented, he cannot speak, he cannot hear, and then the father goes on to say in verse 18, and wheresoever he taketh him,
indicating that his son was in bondage, indicating that his son is under the control and under the sway of this demon. Wherever he taketh him, he teareth him. That is, he breaks him and shatters him. He throws him into convulsions. This son didn't just have a neurological problem. He had a demon problem. This was a very serious situation. And it goes on to say, and he foameth. That is, like a mad animal, and he gnasheth with his teeth, which speaks of the rage that was within this man's son. And then he said, and he pineth away. In other words, he's not getting any better. There's no sign of improvement. He's wasting away to nothing. And Luke records, in Luke 9, verse 39, he said the demon bruised him, that is, wounded him, injured him, crushed him. And you can imagine, as the demon would throw him into the fire, throw him into the water, in many different ways, this son was bruised. He's also referred to in Luke 9, verse 42, as an unclean spirit. That is, he caused some moral defilement in this man's son. So we hear the father say, my son, my son, my only child, as a result of this demon, Lord, he cannot speak. Lord, he cannot hear. He is under the absolute control of this demon. This demon is breaking him. This demon is shattering his life. This demon is causing him to act like an animal. My son, my only child, he's filled with rage. He is constantly wounded and bruised by this demon. This demon is literally crushing his life. He is defiled and he is wasting away. This was a very desperate situation. And then in our text, in Mark 9, verse 21, as they were bringing the young man to Jesus, the demon threw the young man to the ground, and he wallowed foaming. In verse 21, and he asked his father, that is, Jesus asked his father, how long ago is it since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Now, everything that this father has described about his son is in the present tense. In other words, what we have here is an ongoing, continuous situation of demonic torment. And without a doubt, this demonic has both physical and emotional scars from the injuries inflicted on him over the years. He's been this way from the time he was a child. I take from that, for years he had been this way. For years the father had dealt with the affliction of his son, with the affliction of his only child. And his son's condition was one that demanded constant attention. I'm sure that this father could not leave his son alone, not knowing when the next demonic attack would come. And no doubt both the father and the son are desperate. And no doubt they are both tired, exasperated. And I believe the father's appeal in the latter part of verse 22 reflects some desperation and exhaustion. He said there, if thou canst do anything, Have compassion on us and help us. He didn't ask God. He didn't ask Christ, Lord, heal him. He just said, Lord, if you can do anything. Anything. Anything at all to make this situation better. We see he's desperate. He's tired. He's exhausted. The Father and the Son needed a miracle in their lives. He brought him to the disciples, and they could not. They are both suffering terribly. They are both afflicted. They are both hurting. Hurting in different ways. But they are both hurting. And they are both in desperate need. And they both needed their lives put back together. You see, a demon had torn apart their lives. They needed renewal. They needed restoration. They needed refreshing. They needed some help. And really what they needed, only God could give. They had in their lives more that they could bear. The Father couldn't go on much longer. The Son could not continue this way of living. He's pining away. This is more than they can bear. So this is a very desperate situation. But then notice, we want to notice the instruction of Jesus. Again, we picture this grief-stricken father. He has such a burden for his son. He so much wants his son's life put back together. He no doubt had spent many restless nights wondering what to do for his son, wondering what would finally become of his son. And no doubt he had tried many things, but as the years went on, no matter what he tried, his child, his only child, was still living a life of literal torment. The father had pleaded concerning his son's desperate and seemingly hopeless situation. And Jesus, hearing the man's impossible circumstances, said unto this father, again, this father is kneeling before Jesus, telling his story. And Jesus said, bring him unto me. Bring him unto me. That is, bring him unto me as he is. Remember who he is. He's insane. He's out of his mind. He's a maniac. He's a madman. And Jesus said, bring him in all of his insanity. Bring him unto me. You don't have to clean him up. You don't have to make him more appealing. You bring him in all of his insanity. Bring him unto me. He's living a life of torment, anguish, and misery. And Jesus says, bring him unto me. That is, in all of his torment, in all of his anguish, in all of his misery, bring him unto me. Just bring him to me. He's suicidal. He's self-destructive. He's on a path of ruin. And Jesus says, bring him unto me. You see, he's in bondage. He's under the control. He's under the sway of a demon. And Jesus says, bring him just as he is. Bring him just as he is unto me. He's broken. He's shattered. He's like a mad animal.
He's in a rage. He's wasting away. And Jesus says, bring him unto me. Bring him unto me. Again, this is an absolutely hopeless and impossible situation. And Jesus says, bring him unto me. And I believe today that that is still the Lord's instruction to you and I. And the sooner you and I know how, and I'm afraid many of God's people don't know how, as soon as we can realize how, we need to know how we can bring it unto Jesus. We know that we're supposed to bring it unto Jesus. How do you do that? Bring him unto me. Jesus says, bring him unto me. Whatever your battle, whatever your struggle, whatever your problem, whatever your need, whatever the obstacle, whatever the hurdle, whatever the load, whatever the burden, whatever the concern, whatever is broken, Jesus says to you and I, bring. Bring it unto me. Now, to bring means that you must personally come to Jesus with whatever it is that you're bringing. This isn't just casting whatever it is in our lives at a distance at the feet of Christ. It isn't just throwing it up in the air. This is personally coming to Jesus Christ with whatever it is that is desperate in our lives. Bring it unto me. You cannot bring it without coming, without drawing closer to Jesus Christ. Again, there is no battle that the Lord cannot win. And he says, whatever your battle is, bring it unto me. There's no problem. There's no problem with the Lord. There's no problem that you and I have that he does not have the answer for. And Jesus simply says, bring your problem. Bring it unto me. Just bring it unto me. There's no need that he cannot provide. And Jesus says, bring it unto me. There's no obstacle that he cannot overcome. There's nothing broken that he cannot fix. You may have many things in your life that are broken, and you may have tried to mend it, and you may have sought the help of others to mend it, and they could not. But I'm telling you today, there is nothing broken that he cannot fix. Bring it unto him. Bring it unto Christ. There's nothing ruined that he cannot restore. There's no load too heavy that he cannot carry. This father was carrying a heavy load. And Jesus said, just bring him unto me. There's no life that Christ cannot salvage. There is no river, however wide it might be, there is no river that he cannot get you across. And there is no fire that he cannot quench. There is no storm. No matter how long it's been going on, there is no storm that he cannot calm. And the one who can do all of these things, can you hear him say today, bring, and then you fill in the blank, Just bring it unto me. Just bring it unto me. Bring your son unto me. I know the disciples, they couldn't do anything. They were unable. But bring him unto me. Just bring him to me. And then notice the result of this instruction. In verse 25 of Mark chapter 9, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, the reason they came running together is they realized the miracle was about to happen. They didn't want to miss it. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." Matthew records it in Matthew 17 and verse 18, "And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that hour." Bring him unto me. And the child was cured. Luke records in Luke 9 verse 42, "And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again unto his father." And imagine the joy of this father when his son, his only child, was brought to him, no longer insane, but he's in his right mind. He's no longer suicidal. He's no longer dumb and deaf. He's no longer in the bondage and under the control and sway of a demon. No longer animal-like. No longer is he living in a state of rage. No longer is he wounded. No longer is he injured. No longer is he crushed. Where are the bruises? Where are the wounds? They're all gone. Jesus has cured him. Jesus has healed him. And as he looked at his son, his only child, he saw a completely different individual. The son was set free. The son was released, and the father had the weight of the world lifted off of him. Jesus said, "Bring him unto me." And what no one else could do was done. Bring him unto me. In closing, Jesus Christ can take death, places of death, and turn it into a place of life. He can take places of darkness and make those very places places of light. He can take places of need and make them places of provision. He can take places of thirst and make them places of refreshment. Places of brokenness, he can make places of mending. Places of hurt, he can make places of healing. Places of hopelessness, he can make places of hope. You see, Jesus Christ can change weakness into strength. He can change distress into comfort, anguish into relief, affliction into solace. He can change sorrow into joy. And he can take defeat and turn it into victory. And this very one who can do all of these things says to you and I, his children, bring it unto me. Bring your darkness unto me. Bring your need unto me. Bring that which is broken. Bring it just as it is. You don't have to try to fix it. Just bring it as it is unto Jesus. Bring all of your hurts unto Jesus Christ. Bring all of your hopelessness and all of your weakness and all of your distress and all of your anguish. Jesus says, just bring it to me. Bring all the defeat. Bring all the affliction. Bring all the sorrow. Just take it as it is. Just gather it all up and bring it unto me. All that we might learn to bring whatever it is unto Jesus. I mean, if we look at our lives today, every single one of us needs some miracles in our lives. Every single one of us stand in need of some miracles. And every single one of us have things in our life that greatly trouble us. We have battles. We have struggles. We all have these things. And there is a miracle worker. His name is Jesus. And Jesus says, whatever it is, just bring it unto me. Just bring it unto me. And after the demonic was brought to Christ, notice in Luke chapter 9, verse 43. Luke chapter 9, verse 43. Just want to read the first. Well, we'll read the whole verse. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. While they wondered, everyone, at all things which Jesus did, he went on and he spoke to his disciples. He brought his son unto Jesus. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. If every one of us here today were to take up all the things in our life, all our needs, all the things that so distress us, and we were to just bring it to Jesus, we would have a mountain just in this building. A mountain of things brought unto Jesus. But if we would do that, I believe just as this multitude witnessed the almighty power of God, we would witness the power of God if we would just bring it unto Jesus. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. It can be self-induced problems. It can be imaginary problems. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, bring it unto Jesus. And you will witness the almighty power of God. He might not take away the burden, but he'll give you the ability to endure the burden. Either way, you're going to experience the power of God. Does that not beat living a life of anxiety, living a life of distress and worry? Just bring it unto Jesus and see what he can do. Again, there's so many needs here. So many problems. So many hurts. So many difficulties. So many burdens. Burdens for children. Burdens for grandchildren. Burdens for spouses. On and on and on it goes. And Jesus says concerning all of it, just bring it unto me. Just take it as it is and just bring it unto me. When you bring it unto Christ, you not only must come, but you also have to let go. You can't bring it if you don't let go. So whatever it is today, come to Christ. Bring it unto him. Let go. Just let go. And see what the Lord
can do. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.